How long? How long? How many times have we asked this question? Are we there yet, Mom? How long from the back seat? How long? How many times have we asked this question of God, to God? This is a psalm attributed to David. You could see David in the temple of God, shouting to the heavens, "How long, God? How long, O Lord? Can you hear me? Have you forgotten me?" Today we would say, "Is anybody there? Did I lose you? Do we have a bad connection?" We may have asked, "Has God noticed me?" When we don't hear an answer, we might wonder if God has gone on vacation. Is God just simply ignoring me, deleting my text, deleting my email from the inbox? Maybe if I give more to the church, that would help. Maybe if I should think better thoughts of people. Maybe if I volunteer more often, that would help. So maybe we've tried all of that. Still, we're left waiting. How long? Nothing. We haven't noticed anything happening. So we scratch our head. We wonder some more. We wonder if our prayers are having any effect at all. Then we start to wonder, maybe I'm not praying hard enough. I've had people say that to me before. I'm not praying hard enough. Maybe I should pray longer even. And so we stay up every night until midnight praying to God in the dark. We do that, and many times we're still left waiting. We start to wonder some more, deeper thoughts. Maybe God isn't who we think God is. Maybe he can't do what's advertised in the Bible. Maybe these stories aren't true at all. Maybe he can't do anything about my cancer. Maybe she can't bring our son back from addictions. We become depressed. We stop praying. We stop reading the Bible. We stop coming to church. We stop associating with our Christian friends. We lose faith. It wanes. How many times have we done this throughout life? How many times have we been down this road, all of us? It's because we think. We think a lot. As human beings, we think, we worry, we ponder. And sometimes that becomes a hindrance to the grace of God, towards receiving it. Not that God doesn't want us to think. No, quite the contrary. I believe that God does want us to think. But we're anxious people. We want things to happen on our timetable and in our way, the way that we planned them to work out. It's only human nature for us to feel that way. It is. And I would add that that is what makes us unique in creation. It's true. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the sky and the flowers of the ground. They don't worry. But as I think to myself, I think about flowers and birds, and I'm thinking, well, they don't have the capacity to think. They just do. They just grow. If a fire wipes them out, they take seed somewhere else. If the trees are all knocked down by a flood, the birds go somewhere else. They're not worried. The fish, if their water is polluted, they swim upstream to where it's not and feed there. But we worry. We worry. We wonder. we're unique enough creatures to contemplate our place in the universe, what it all means, and to ask questions of God. And I believe that God created us this way on purpose, to ask questions. Why? Well, Jesus said, "Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given." God wants us to ask questions, yes. How else are we to know God unless we raise our hand and ask sometimes? How long even? Even that question. Even maybe getting angry. You can hear the anger in David's pen. Enemies, he starts talking about, right? People out to get him. And in his day, that was probably true. People wanted to knock him off. He was a king. He had a rivalry with Saul for many years. His own sons tried to depose him. For us, our enemies are in different forms. It could be the coworker who doesn't pull his weight, the boss who continually gets under our skin, the neighbor who doesn't abide by the rules of the neighborhood, right? Enemies. There are those that would say that showing anger, challenging God is sinful, prideful of us. We shouldn't do that. It shows a lack of faith. That we are somehow just supposed to be pure recipients of whatever God has in store for us, whatever grace trickles down from on high. And whatever the world dishes out to us, we should just take it. But we're not mindless puppets. We ask, we challenge, we wrestle, to use David's words, wrestling in his thoughts day after day in the sorrow of his heart. Someone else asked the question, how long? His name was Martin Luther King Jr. In Selma, Alabama, a great speech, a speech that I would hold up against the I Have a Dream speech in Washington. Before they came to the bridge in Selma, he asked the question, how long? How long must we deal with this injustice of society, this inequality? How long? And he presupposed his own answer to that question by saying, not long. Not long, he said. He even answered why the people can expect something to happen. He said, quote, because the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. A great line. In other words, it's natural. Why is it natural? What's the force that's causing this natural action? Well, as Christians, we believe that to be God. God is the one causing justice to happen. It's out there, folks. It is happening. It's for that reason we can have hope. That's how we can think of God as a force for good and justice in the world, in the universe. God is out there on the ledge, bending it down like a diving board towards justice. That's what Revelation is all about, saying basically in one long book that we can have hope that justice will be done, that good will happen in the end, despite the calamities that happen, despite the sky falling and the oceans rising. We can have faith that things will turn out okay because God ultimately will see it done. So this is not a lesson about having blind trust in God and blind faith. This is about being an informed believer. Believers that ask questions and say how long, and at the end of asking questions come to the conclusion, like David does in our psalm, by saying, but, in verse 5, an abrupt change of tone. But, David says, I trust in God, but I rejoice in God's salvation, he says. wow, really? You just got done saying, how long must I wait? Here he is saying, but I believe in God. I will sing even at the end. Where has he seen this love? Where has he seen this salvation? Where has he seen this goodness that he's going to sing about? If he just got done saying to God, basically, help me out, God. Save me. Help me out now, not next week. Now, I need it now. At Back Bay, our t-shirts say on the back, the church has left its building. I love that little phrase. The church has left its building. It's gone. The church is out there working at homeless shelters, food pantries, soup kitchens. Even doing that for a few days in a row changes your perspective on things. Mississippi is statistically still the poorest state in our country. And as we know, a decade ago, Katrina was one of the most devastating storms that this country has seen. And in places like Biloxi and Gulfport, it was a huge, devastating crisis. I learned that there, for those people in that area born into poverty, that only 10 to 20% of them, somewhere between that range, will ever break out of poverty. 80, 90% of people, if you were born in poverty, most likely you would remain in poverty. And your children would remain in poverty. Generations of people have grown up in poverty. And I share that to say that we are not the only ones that may be asking how long of God, how long? Folks, it could be that we are just a little bit further down on the list of God's priorities. What did Jesus say? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Could it be that the answer to how long is outside of these walls? That's where we will find God at work. How long? Now. It's happening. How long? Could you switch to the next slide, please, down here? Thank you. The little small print is hard to read, but three times, beginning in 1959, again in 1960, and finally 1963, Biloxi, Mississippi was the host of a civil rights wait-in. And during that time, in the early 60s, beaches were segregated. Beaches, everything. Even beaches were segregated. So African-American black people could not be on the same beach with white people. And there was groups of people who saw this as being wrong. And so they staged a wade-in at this site in Biloxi, Mississippi on the beach. The last one in 1963 turned violent. The answer for those people to how long was not any longer. Not any longer will we deal with this. We're going to go outside and do something about it and wade in the water, just like the song says. UCC churches in the area were a part of this. Two UCC pastors and the director of Back Bay Mission at the time, Back Bay Mission's over 90 years old, participated in this wade-in along with other groups of people, and there was a strong, visceral reaction to this. People were threatened. People were beaten on the beach. It's supposed to be a happy place. The backlash was that the UCC churches, the pastors, the congregation members who participated in this were threatened. Their lives were threatened for participating. There was a lot of pressure on those churches, and so eventually they had to shut down and close. And to this day, there is no UCC church in the area, but Back Bay survived. Back Bay survived. The director there in the 1970s was sent there to kind of close the mission. And instead, he did the exact opposite after he was there for a while and realized the good that it could do. And so he went on the road. He and his staff sponsored a traveling shrimp boil to raise money for Back Bay Mission, and it exists today. The churches, the UCC churches are gone. There is only one UCC church today in the whole state, in Jackson, the capital, and it's a new church. But Back Bay is still there. Sometimes justice is done without a church congregation, even being a part of it. And other churches, of course, have done many, many things. The Catholic Church, the United Methodist Church, Lutherans, Episcopals. And thank God for that. What is your how long? What comes after that for you in the question to God? What are you asking God? Are you wondering when your turn is? Are you even asking where God is? Does God care for me? Is God listening to me? Ask yourself if a little perspective might help you find that answer. I believe that if we get out there, if we serve the most needy, if we continue to dedicate ourselves to reaching people, the most vulnerable, the sickest of the sick, to helping them out, that we will see where God is and what God is doing and find out the answer to how long we have to wait before justice is done. A lot of our questions will be answered. Maybe some questions might not matter as much. God is out there, perhaps even waiting on us, inviting us into doing some kingdom building. Maybe it's God who is asking, how long will it take you to join me? Come on out, join me. Be partners. Sometime soon, I would like to do Eight Churches Left a Building, that when we get done with worship, that we go out and do something with our hands and feet. Right here, right afterwards, when we get done, as the benediction finishes, that we leave out the door, help paint a house, help do yard work, help feed people somewhere, somewhere close, right here in our community. Let's leave the building. Let's leave the building and find the answer to our how longs in life and go and do something. Take something into our own hands to answer that question. Stop looking up and shouting so much. We can ask God questions. We can wonder. We can think. We could do that still. But do not forget about the love and the grace that we can share from within us, our God-given abilities and gifts. How long? Not long. Not long. Let us praise God with our voices and sing.